What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Healthy Scratch, a Blue Shirts podcast. Follow us on X, Twitter, whatever you like to call it, at THSABSPodNYR. Follow us on all of our podcasting platforms. We are everywhere, guys, so please follow, give us a listen. We really appreciate all the support. Boys, could we just talk Four Nations the whole time? Like, the Rangers come back, and it just is, like, immediate depression. Like, I've never felt deader in my entire life. So we'll talk about Four Nations as long
Deader's
as we
not even
can.
A word. And, like, that's how dead you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I forgot grammar because of the Rangers. That's how terrible they are.
I understand.
That makes sense. The Rangers will be invited to my funeral so they can let me down one last time.
Sure. They can. Yeah, sure. I mean,
there's really not much to say.
Sure,
I mean,
and no disrespect.
Facts,
I mean, and this is no disrespect to you or the life you've lived, AJ. I'm sure someone would drop you.
Yeah.
It'd be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm scene where, like, you know, you fall out and then, you know, you roll out the casket. Yeah, no, that's a little graphic. But anyways, Four Nations. Something. Yeah. Why don't we start there?
I think we have
to.
What a game, guys. I mean, obviously, the result was not what we wanted. We were rooting for USA and hoping for the best, and they had their chances. I mean, it was back and forth. I felt the game was pretty even overall.
There were
a couple missed calls, but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you can't really do anything about that. I still can't believe that US didn't have a single power play in that game. I could not believe it. Either way, it just is, you know, all that it gave me was you gotta remember against a team like that, and every NHL team should remember this, you can't make a mistake against a team like that and a guy like that, because if you make a mistake and you get off for a second, it can create an opportunity with, like, McDavid, who scored the game winner. But man, the U.S. plays a playoff style hockey, which was awesome to see, and the U.S. is set to make a run in the Olympics in a year from now, which I'm so excited. I already can't wait for that. I'm so excited for it.
So,
yeah, no, go ahead.
Sorry. So, I'm very excited for the Olympics. I think this is a massive win for the NHL, by the way. This was a massive win for the NHL. You know, in that overtime, I thought obviously the U.S. ends up giving up the golden goal. But I actually thought they played pretty well in that overtime period. I thought Matthews was excellent. Matthews was excellent in that overtime. It's just the problem is that Matthews was the second best player, and the best player was Jordan Binnington in that overtime period. He saved the game, and he's taken a lot of flack this year. And, you know, in the last couple of years, he really hasn't been that great. And, you know, time really is a flat circle, guys. It really is. You know, in a winner-take-all game, a game seven sort of situation in Boston, Jordan Binnington, again, comes up big. And then, you know, 14 years later, you have the generational player score the golden goal in a international tournament against you in a championship. Time really is a flat circle, guys. It really is.
Yeah, and I mean, and also not for nothing, too. I mean, didn't Sidney Crosby score the game-winning goal for Canada in, like, 2000 and I think it was, like, 2? I forget the exact year or whatever, but Sidney Crosby being the one to get the golden goal for Canada to end up hoisting the trophy. And it's funny how, to your point, Dan, time being a flat circle, it's like the passing of the torch almost. Like, hey, you know, I've carried the NHL, and a lot of Canadian players have. It's not that, you know, Sidney Crosby is, like, the only one, but Sidney Crosby has done a lot for this game. Really respected player. He's definitely, I mean, without saying, immediate Hall of Famer. So I thought McDavid scoring the goal and your time is a flat circle comment, it goes hand in hand, right? Like the passing of the torch. But, I mean, all in all, I was excited when they beat Canada the first time, but having to beat a team like that twice is such a tall task. For me, I almost got like nervous. Like I was happy beating Canada, but then all the fans online, you know, people are on Twitter. Oh, we're so much better. You know, this is now our sport, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking as I'm reading all this, I'm like, this is their sport and we've won nothing yet. Like, don't get me wrong. Americans have come a long way in the game of hockey. That's not what I'm not discounting that at all. But for the amount of people that came out and acted like the whole tournament was over and the United States won, it gave me like the little brother loser energy that I felt ultimately could be almost like bad luck or karma, right? And karma always comes back around. So it's a shame. I thought the United States played a really, really good game. I thought they played very structured and well defensively against a good Canadian team. To your point, Dan, Bennington was an absolute monster who everyone was like, are you serious? Like, you can't do any better than Bennington. There's Aiden Hill there. There's a lot of other guys that didn't even make the team that fans and people were tweeting about. Like, why is Bennington even on this roster? And, you know, just a gut-wrenching loss. And I have a lot more comments on that, but I'll leave it with, I was really proud of the way that they played. I'm proud to be an American. You know, and honestly, I think we, outside of that one lapse that you cannot have against a good team, I thought the Americans were going to win, and unfortunately, it didn't go that way.
Wait,
before you even go ahead. One last comment before I let you go. If we're being honest, boys, on what planet should that American team, as many stars as we have, that team had McKinnon, Crosby, McDavid, and Makar. And I'm not, you know, hockey is the ultimate team game. I understand that. But, you know, realistically, on paper, we should not be beating that team.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because you can talk about the greatest stars in the world offensively, but like defensively they still weren't great. You know, they're fine, Canada, and obviously goaltending in the moment beat us, but Jordan Binnington, you know, was shaky through the regulation. He wasn't great. Can't come overtime, he was excellent. He made every save he had to, but until then he was really shaky. I mean, I could argue both those goals weren't really necessarily great goals the U.S. scored. Now, I don't necessarily blame him, but I also don't think they were great. Either way, I get what you're saying. I mean, you named those four players who probably the four best players in the world, and they're all on one roster, which is insane.
If you really think about it, they didn't have Colton Parayko. They didn't have Pietrangelo. Like, they were also missing some dogs Parayko, on defense, too.
Parayko played.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Parayko played, but I know they were missing Pietrangelo, and they were missing someone else.
Yeah, but
I
the believe. U.S. also missing Charlie McAvoy in that game.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, too, we were missing Quinn Hughes from the start.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, if Quinn Hughes is healthy at the beginning of that tournament, it's either Hanifin or Fox that's coming out. And with what I saw from Fox and all the Rangers in general, but specifically Fox in that tournament where he looked overwhelmed, it's probably Fox that's coming out.
Oof. And I got to tell you guys, you know, if we're going to get into sort of like the Rangers portion of things here.
I do want to, before we get into the Rangers portion of things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matthews was great until he had a mental lapse.
That was what I was going to say to AJ before.
I don't know how.
What was he doing there? Yeah. What was Jack Hughes doing there?
Jack Hughes, when watching the play back, he I don't know why he didn't move to McDavid the second he saw that. Matthews kind of peeling away, but also I think Hughes is covering the point there at that point, which was the pass Marner was going to have to make if Matthews doesn't commit to Marner. Matthews doesn't commit and stays with McDavid, then Hughes is in the right position. So I'll say that much.
See, but Nick, I'd rather even if both Matthews and Hughes run over to McDavid, just doesn't matter.
No, 100%.
You have two guys on the best player, fine, I'll take it. And then it at least gives you, I don't know, it buys you an extra few seconds. I'd rather two guys on McDavid than none, where he gets an open look in the high slot like he did.
100%.
No, I would much rather that, because even if two guys go to him and then McDavid somehow finds the open man, right? Just somehow finds the open man in that situation. I can live with, okay, well, we tried to double the best player. I can kind of live with that. I can't live with losing 97 in the high slot in the middle of the ice. I can't live with that.
I 100%
that's
agree.
That's what was frustrating about that golden goal. But the Rangers portion, because you brought up Fox, the Rangers portion of things.
Yeah.
I mean,
can we just not talk about any Rangers stuff?
I mean, we're a Rangers podcast.
I know. It's just killing me right now, man. There is nothing positive within the past.
There's nothing positive. There's nothing positive this week. Honestly, it would have been more positive if Tage Thompson was on that team instead of Chris Kreider. It would have done Chris Kreider a better justice to just sit at home for 2 weeks.
And he's clearly hurt still. Oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh my God.
It honestly would have done Chris Kreider a better justice to his trade value if he had just sat at home the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
No, we were hoping that the Rangers would help themselves a little bit here. We got no help from Kreider. I mean, he did score that one goal, but like...
Oh, come on.
I texted you and Dan, you're in our hockey group chat as well. I kept ripping on Kreider in the fantasy hockey group chat.
I did see that.
There's on no planet should he have been there. He looked out of his league. He's just... I don't know, boys. I don't know if it's maybe the age or you know, maybe not
he's
playing
not
healthy.
Healthy,
a mix of the bull.
He's
I don't
not
know.
Healthy.
Maybe it's heart. I don't know. It's been bad, though.
And
he's not healthy,
today,
sure, but even when he was healthy, Nick, he's had four assists all year.
Well, today in practice, here's the thing. I don't know how healthy he's been from game 10 on. I think he got hurt pretty early. I think it's affected him, but no one said anything because that's what the NHL does. But here's the other thing.
Okay, but
today in practice, I agree. No, listen, I agree. LTIR is a thing. Yes. Either way, in practice today, Laviolette was trying to have a conversation with him. He completely was ignoring him. Kreider was ignoring Laviolette, and that bothers me. If you're not going to put your effort into this team, you wonder why this team's doing what they're doing, because one of your leaders is doing that. What the hell's going on? Like, does that not speak volumes?
Sorry. I know dead air is not good for a podcast.
No, but I mean, seriously, does that not speak volumes? Like, I think that's the thing that's standing out to me the most about this Kreider thing. Not only was he poor in the Four Nations,
your
he was
guess
poor
is
all
as good
season,
as mine, guys.
And now that's what's happening?
Yeah. Your guess
that
is
could have been one.
Mine.
That could have been something where maybe he was hearing him and there wasn't much to be said. Yeah. But either way, I saw the video.
But he wasn't looking
about.
At
was
him.
Not
he wasn't
a,
looking
yeah,
at
it
him.
Wasn't, no, but to the same point, Nick, I mean, there's times where we're not looking at somebody, but, you know, it might be clear that we heard what they're talking about, and that maybe that there's just nothing to be said. But to your point, I think it's a horrible look. Like, that video gets released, and immediately all the discourse is going to be, has Laviolette lost the room? And again, we've all discussed, we don't know if he's the guy going forward. We don't think he is, but
I don't think so.
That's not a good look for either one of those two guys, I'll tell you that.
I think there's a new coach starting next season. It's a three-year deal. And you would have thought if he was some level of long-term solution, they would have tacked at least an extra year after last season.
So, well, we can have this conversation later on. I'm sorry.
Dan,
Adam Fox, we're talking about him because actually I brought up a point. I think I brought up that video to you guys earlier in the week, so I want to talk about that as well. So go ahead with your Fox points.
Okay. Guys, we have an Adam Fox problem, I think.
Yeah. At least this season.
We do. At least this year. This was a quote from, you know, Johnny Lazarus and Colby Cohen's podcast. And Johnny Lazarus basically said.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now I know the quote you're talking about.
That he has talked to a lot of guys around the league that I know. And they all told me they love playing against Adam Fox, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
I'm not surprised.
This is where I'm gonna go a little nuts because I think that's a bad look on Fox. But you're telling me Chris Drury doesn't know that? So what's a solution? Just keep putting him with Lindgren? Seriously.
Yeah.
If you go
seriously.
Into the season knowing that, and there's no way he's hearing this for the first time, and there's no way he didn't witness it last postseason. How do you not do anything to address that? I wouldn't even care if you kept – I mean, listen, Trouba, obviously, the whole situation, that's done. Put him with Trouba for God's sake. Like,
Why didn't we see that? Even
if your defense is top heavy, like, that's fine. Like, but if you're going to have a guy like Adam Fox, like, again, that's totally fine. Obviously, Adam Fox, like, we're going to look up at the end of the season. Adam Fox is still going to have his 70 points, and he's just still going to be a plus player when he's out there. He is. Right now, he's on a 72, 73-point pace, and he's a plus. I think he's a plus four right now, I think, or something like that. So he's still a plus player. You have to know that. Like, I mean, you know, even, I mean, you have to know, if you have to know that, like, you just do. I mean, man, like, I don't even know how, like, it's so damning. It's the worst thing you could say about someone.
I think the most disappointing thing about Adam Fox, because part of me wonders if this has just been a lingering, nagging injury. You know, he's taken a couple brutal shots to the knees, and especially over the past couple playoff runs when he wasn't exactly at his best because of the
health of his knee. He went on LTIR last year with the knee from Aho. I remember that, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying people were targeting his knee, but let's be honest. You're playing in a playoff series. You're playing for Lord Stanley. If I know you're having a little bit of a problem with your knee, I'm not saying I'm going to make it blatant, but you can't sit here and tell me, boys, you're not somewhat attacking that guy's knees a little bit. And so I wonder, I don't know, it's because I feel like it's the tale of two Adam Foxes, right? We've seen Adam Fox. We know he has the IQ of a, yes, he's an undersized guy, but because of his IQ, it almost makes up for what he lacks in physicality. And he was never a burner, so he's never had speed like a lane.
Which is
Hudson.
Fine. All that's fine.
Which is fine, but your cerebral really needs to make up for everything else that you lack. Which, again, so part of me wonders, is like, you know, is it a lingering health problem that he can't seem to get past? And if that's the case, what are we doing? Put the guy on the shelf, get him the rehab he needs. I don't care if he wants to play. I respect all hockey players and the culture of, I want to play through it. I want to be there for my team. You're not helping your team by going out there and playing half to your capabilities when you have expectations set upon you of how you're supposed to be helping this team win. And now my other fear with this is that, let's say he's not injured, boys. Is that not even scarier? Why is it that if it is not injury related, it's starting to feel a lot like the Mika Zibanejad situation, where it's, we got to find the perfect winger for Mika Zibanejad. We got to find the perfect winger for Mika Zibanejad. I don't want to keep having to find the perfect player to play with my player. If that's the case, that means my player is not good enough.
I say that all the time about quarterbacks. I had to do that for the last 5+ years with Daniel Jones and explaining this to people. If everything around you needs to be perfect, you're not that guy. Mm-hmm. You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy. Okay?
But here's my problem, is that you had a good fit in Pavel Buchnevich. And you, I mean, listen, I understand that you couldn't afford him at the time.
Yeah, that was,
like,
yeah, I mean, that was a cap.
But, like, what do we do?
No, but they,
like,
could have kept him as a rental.
Yes!
They offloaded him too early. At least for what the returns you got were, that's horrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good point.
But you saw it was working. You saw it was working. You know? Either way. So, Fox, I mean, listen, we talked briefly about it, and I think on that same podcast, actually, they talked about, does Fox just need a partner to go with him? Yeah, listen, Noah Hanifin is a good defenseman, excellent defenseman, and I would have loved to have seen more out of Fox with Hanifin. Don't get me wrong. But also, Noah Hanifin isn't the physical guy that you really need. You know,
Noah Hanifin should be able to lift the game about Fox.
You know who would have been a perfect person for this season with the New York Rangers?
Ryan McDonough. Okay, yeah.
That would have been a guy that knows New York, knows the locker room, knows how it works, has some familiar faces still, and will have the respect of the team.
He's an older player, but it's a rental. I mean, like, it, you could make it, you can go year by year with him.
You know what?
Like,
but for a
Quick.
Team that was had aspirations of winning a Stanley Cup, a guy like that to pair with Adam Fox, where you know how sound he is. I mean, look what he's doing in Tampa, man. He's just doing his job and doing it well. That's all it is. He is helping out Victor Hedman a lot more than Sergachev could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's definitely the kind of stuff, that's the kind of evaluation that I'm lacking from Chris Drury. That's the stuff that's bothering me. You've got to see where you're lacking, and you have two small guys playing with each other, and you've seen it now. Yeah, they have good chemistry, but when it comes to it, they can't do what they need to in the postseason. They can't be physical. They can't match up with the big guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was alarming seeing like how at times overmatched Adam Fox looked, like big on big. Like I say big on big because that's best versus best. Yeah. That's big on big, and he kind of looked overmatched at times, guys.
I think it's really a confidence thing with him too. I mean,
yeah,
I just,
maybe he's confident.
I think it's his confidence is just deflated. All he's hearing is chatter in his ear all season, and it's just not working. This team hasn't been good. I don't think he's mentally handling this well, and I think that's a big part of it. And that's obviously, I know you're going to say, Dan, it's not good.
It's not good, but it's probably the first time in his life he's ever had to do this. I mean, guys, he came into the league right away, and he's a highly touted prospect. He gets traded to the New York Rangers. I mean, right away, basically wins the Norris Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
You immediately have success. Growing up, you were probably, I mean, growing up, you know, it was him, Charlie McAvoy. I know they all played on, you know, on Long Island and all that, but they were always top pair defensemen, never, you know, the whole deal. And you got to, you know, 28 years old when you're supposed to be in the prime of your career, and you're now struggling. Like, you're now struggling, really and truly. This might be the first time he's really ever really, really, really struggled outside of just getting hurt with a serious injury like he did last year, which wasn't his fault. It was kind of a dirtyish play, a dirtyish hit. But when has he ever really had a struggle like this in his life, hockey life?
Probably never.
That's what I mean. So, you know. I mean, the first time, like, you know, the first time the girl tells us no at the dance, it kills us. Second and third time, it's a lot easier to deal with it. Maybe he just hasn't gone through enough, adversity.
You know, honestly, that's actually a great point, Dan. That's something I never really thought about, that he hasn't really faced adversity that way, outside of, like, the Rangers playoff losses that he was a part of the team. But, I mean... Yeah, he's never looked bad, and the injury might be part of the reason why he's struggling, and maybe that's why it's looking glaring, is because he's never struggled before, right? But I also think to Nick's point, I think it is on the general manager. You're rolling out your best defenseman, who's a smaller guy with yet another smaller guy. And now I can respect that Ryan Lindgren plays a heavy game, that he plays with physicality for his size. I do think it was I think Drury has not done a good job of getting out ahead. And like, at sometimes, boys, you need to sell high and not realizing that Chris Kreider could have a down year. Ryan Lindgren could be trending in the wrong direction, and getting out while they still had value, or at least more value. I do place that blame on Chris Drury, because ultimately your job as a general manager is to be constantly identifying the pros and cons of your hockey team and trying to figure out what is it that I can do to help this team be better. And the fact that he did not get out ahead of Kreider, Lindgren, the fact that you paid assets for a Riley Smith that hadn't really helped the cause, or, you know, given out a big no-move contract to Mika, and he's having a down, you know, he's going trending downwards. That is on the GM. I don't think he's been horrible, but I think he's made some very glaring mistakes.
That was the other thing I was going to make. You have to know, like, you have to know, A, that styles make fights. And B, you have to know that, okay, if I have this type of player, like, if I have an Artemi Panarin or Adam Fox type of player, I need to make sure this player is surrounded by guys who are heavy physical sandpaper, because I want that guy to go out there and make sure that his game is predicated on space and using their IQ and creativity and this and that, and they're going to need the space, and they're not going to get into those gritty areas, but I'm going to have four other guys out there that are going to be dogs. And maybe, you know, maybe that are not, you know, as – maybe there's more talented options out there, but it's about fit.
Yeah. Listen.
About fit, and you have to know that. You have to know that as a general manager. Like, how do I best complement, you know, this player that I'm paying $8.5, $9.5, or even $11 million, you know, finesse game with, you know, guys with sandpaper around them. And hell, maybe, you know, that can kind of work both ways. That player who's a finesse player, he can add maybe, you know, 10, 12, 15 more points to, you know, a more sandpaper guys, you know, a guy with more sandpaper, or, you know, more grit. It's like, you know, point total for the season. You don't know that. You don't know.
So, you know what? What's crazy to me is that I feel like all three of us were on the same page going into the offseason that Ryan Lindgren was cool and great, but we would be okay without him.
We just thought it was time.
You're telling me Chris Drury didn't realize this guy wasn't going to make or break it for this team? You could have gotten a second-round pick for Ryan Lindgren probably this offseason. You probably could have.
Right.
And he would have been RFA, so they have the rights to deal him. And probably if he gets dealt, he gets his contract. And you could use that $4.5 million and offer a little more to a guy like a Brett Pesce.
Or Dylan.
Or Brandon Dillon.
Or Dylan. Or a Sean Walker.
Two guys that are culture changers.
Right.
That are culture changers, but they're physical, gritty, defensive guys.
But they could be, you know, culture changers in the sense of you didn't feel like you had enough, you know, you didn't have enough guys like that in your locker room.
Yeah. But that's why I question Chris Drury so much. It's just, you're telling me you thought the same team was ready to roll it back after you saw their flaws were exposed big time in the last three games of the Carolina series and every game against the Panthers. Like, it just blows my mind. And, you know, Adam Fox is a heck of a defenseman. He's still one of the best in the world. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. He still has all that talent and more. I think he's had a tough year. Yeah. Now, if he does this again next year, I'm definitely worried. But so, I think they're going to address this.
Yeah, I also say this, Nick. I mean, you're sitting here talking about, you know, being a good self-evaluator. I mean, guys, what was – before Chris Drury was the general manager of the New York Rangers, what was his previous position?
Assistant general manager.
Before that.
Manager of the Hartford Wolfpack. Yes.
So you've seen lot of these guys for years.
Mm-hmm.
So you should know.
Yeah, you should know. No, and you know what? You gave up a second and a fifth for Riley Smith. Now, listen, I look back on it. If they did it at the deadline, I would have been a lot happier about it. But now going to it, you could have kept your second and your fifth round pick, and you could have just let Othman get the road, like get the opportunity. Well,
yeah, you were better off just giving.
You know what I mean?
Starting his clock.
You know, and if it doesn't work, there might be someone out there available for you to go out there and sign, or go out there and trade for with that second and that fifth that isn't a Riley Smith. You know, that salary that you used, you wasted it. He has done such a poor job from the deadline last year on. I'm sorry. The whole Trouba situation, you know how I feel about that. Chris Drury is a part of the problem for why Adam Fox is playing the way he is. Now, listen, people may not agree with that, and that's fine. Adam Fox is still a player he has to be, and he needs to find a way to step up and grow stronger than that. But, man, it's just so hard looking at these decisions that were made and to just feel confident in this, in him and his evaluating of player personnel and development and everything. It's just is like, I mean, look what Kako's doing, guys. It's another thing. It's just, you know, even more of a, you know, a check mark against Zibanejad, you know?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do think players need a change of scenery, right? And that could have been what happened with Kako, because he was given some sort of runway in New York. But to your point, then if anything, it's more of a strike against Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, who for the past X amount of years could never be broken up from each other, because if they were, then I guess that must have meant that the Earth was going to end. I don't know.
My also thing is, too, again, it goes back to Adam Fox, you know, with the first time in his life struggling. You know, Cabo Caco, you know, I'm going to lean a little bit more towards AJ with this, because AJ, we've had this discussion a lot, you know, and we've had this discussion on the podcast a lot, too. Guys, like, when Caco got here, I mean, he was immediately, I mean, he was immediately a third line player. When was he ever a third line player and had to work his way up before that? Never. Never. When did he ever really have to struggle and grind his way up and learn how to play like a third line player and learn how to play this, you know, more complete 200-foot third line game? When did he ever have to do that? So you're putting a square peg in a round hole. The kid's going to lose confidence. So, AJ, you're right. The change of scenery, he's getting top 6 minutes. He's getting power play time. And look, you're getting a better player that's on a, you know, that's going to be a 60, you know, that could, you know, that could play to a 60, 70 point pace now. You are.
100%. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, and, you know, you know, that's kind of on, and I get it, like, it's kind of on the Rangers there, you know, it's not about, okay, like, I get, like, drafting the best player available and then kind of just figuring it out, but, man, like, when it's the second and first overall picks, I mean, guys.
You know, and it also makes sense, too, as we're having this conversation, I'm wondering, why weren't more defensemen drafted over the years, right? Like, obviously, we had Braden Schneider. He was a draft pick of the Rangers.
First round.
Keandre Miller, like, I understand that. But then, obviously, you got rid of Nils Lundqvist. Not saying that he was the answer. But then a lot of the picks that Drury has made over the course of the past couple of years have all been forwards, outside of now E.J. Emery and Drew Fortescue. But they're I have these problems. The problem I have with this is that, like, I feel like there were a lot of forwards that could have been called up for the Rangers. So, like, for example, instead of, to your point, Nick, you said, instead of trading a second and a fifth for Riley Smith, maybe the answer all along was having Will Cooley play somewhere on the right side in the top six. Now, I'm not saying long term, but at least as a patch job, you know, and then you could have let Brennan Hoffman either start on the third line with the year, well, or if Hoffman wasn't goes ready.
Top six.
Or no, but even if he wasn't ready, right? I'm trying to figure out what could have been, instead of dishing out a second and a fifth for Riley Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cooley goes into the top six, and then maybe Jimmy Vesey, who was sitting for the longest time, maybe he plays, right? And I'd be fine with Jimmy Vesey on my third line. I'd be fine with.
Yeah, because he's,
you know, because we had the fourth line already established. You know, when you bring on a guy like Carrick, then my first immediate thought was, okay, so if we're going to have Edstrom play fourth line, Rempe play fourth line, now Carrick play fourth line, what does that mean for Jimmy Vesey?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind Jimmy Vesey as a short-term solution on the third line.
And I actually thought he played well enough last year, AJ, to deserve that opportunity this year.
He's deserved it. I feel he's played pretty well this year. I don't think he's been a problem.
Yeah, but he sits games, and I don't get it.
Yeah, go on.
No, I'll finish with this. And so I say that all to say hindsight is obviously 20/20, but again, to me, that is poor asset management on behalf of the New York Rangers organization. Poor talent recognition, poor development. Like, it's just – I understand that, you know, last year we were talking about this team in an entirely different manner, and I don't want to sit here and say that we always were, you know, like, we've liked Drury, but and now that we're going through the struggles and we're seeing just how poorly put together this roster is, more of the blame can be placed on Chris Drury for why the Rangers aren't playing up to their expectations.
So here's my other thing that I've been thinking about too. The problem with this team has been defense and not being back in odd man rushes. You should have allocated this money.
I had no idea.
But this has been the issue for even last season. Even though they were playing well, Igor had an unbelievable year and helped them a ton. So that's a part of it as well. But you had the opportunity to work on the defense and
change your mindset to be defense first and turn it into offense, because you have the offensive talent. You don't, I'm not saying sit back, but if you could help Igor in front of Igor, I mean, look what the Devils have done this year. I think majority, I looking at the numbers on what's Valiquette's website again?
ClearSide Analytics.
Yes, on ClearSide Analytics.
Yeah.
They're top five in shots allowed and, like, you know, shots, you know,
that's why rushes. Guys like Jake Allen can go in there and
but
play
that's
well.
What I'm trying, that's why I'm trying to say. It's like, they saw their issues they had and they addressed it defensively. The Rangers had the opportunity to do that this year and they didn't do that. And that's why I'm so upset with Chris Drury. He put a Band-Aid on it, and let me tell you, that wound is a lot bigger than a Band-Aid, buddy. It's really,
putting
really,
a Band-Aid on a bullet wound at this point.
Yeah,
putting a Band-Aid on a
it's
bullet
just,
wound.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? And you still see the same issues. You know what? The only guy I'm going to give credit to from that game in Pittsburgh the other night is Will Borgen and JT Miller. Those are the two guys. Everybody else, I am not happy with. Will Borgen and Shesterkin, because Shesterkin played really well in that second period. I keep thinking about it.
He had no choice.
Yeah.
There was a point
Borgen's
where
they
were being outshot 29 to 5.
26-5.
To 5 before the Rangers finally got their sixth shot on goal.
Yeah. Borgen
on Sunday afternoon.
Borgen's play was the only thing I see, and I'm like, wow, like that's effort, that's care, and he wants it. Will Borgen, I don't question his effort. I don't question him. Now I question some of the decisions he makes, but I don't question his effort.
I can live with, you know, questionable decision making. I can't, you know, but when it starts to like get towards your effort, that's where like I can't live with that.
Which all weekend you questioned the Rangers' effort. The only guys I think had excuses to kind of be a little slower are the guys that played in Four Nations. That's it.
I don't even know if Chris Kreider, you could I mean.
Well, he wasn't even on the ice on Sunday. He's irrelevant to me at this point right now. You're not going to get anything for him. He's going to be stuck a Ranger, and you better put him himself on IR. I'm sorry. At this point, I want the Rangers, this deadline, they have a lot of cap space. Hey, you want to make that trade? I'll take $2 million. Hey, you want to make that trade? Give us a third-round pick. We'll take $3 million. I want them to do that.
They need to sell.
I want them to do that.
And they need to gain in any way, shape, or form, to your point, Nick.
They're going to have the opportunity to do that because they're going to have $15.3 million up to $15.3 million available come the deadline.
Guys, you know what's crazy? We're saying this. Guys, you know what's crazy? We're saying this, right? If the Rangers, Wild, and Stars all win tonight, guess who's tied for the second wild card
spot? Can we stop? Can we stop?
You guys want to take a guess? You guys want to take a guess who's tied for the second wild card spot?
Can we stop? Can we stop?
I don't even want to, like...
Can we stop?
I don't even want to. I think the point that I'm at with this team, and...
I want you guys to say it.
Yo, if you guys can all see this right now, AJ's face...
It's the Rangers.
AJ's, no, just look, yes. So
I'm not smiling because I want you guys... It's like the Joker.
To all you guys listening right now...
You know how to, like...
Yeah.
It's like... I'm smiling. You know what this is like? This is like... AJ, this is like your girlfriend. Like, something bad happens that you can't help but... laugh in just an awful situation. That's what this is like right now. I don't want this.
It's funny. It's funny because I'm a little upset at myself because there was a podcast a couple weeks ago where the Rangers were playing well, and I came on this podcast and I said, Nick, you were right. And it turns out Nick was not right at all. It turns I threw in the towel a little too early because, boys, and I say that to say, you know, got to make a little joke, poke a little fun at Nick, obviously. But point with, you know, and I said it before the podcast started, who in their right mind, if you're a Rangers fan and you're listening to this and you think the Rangers could go on a run after seeing performances like how they played against Buffalo and how – I don't even know. There's no way on God's green earth they should have won that Pittsburgh game either. But seeing the effort that they put forth in a playoff race against two horrible teams, I understand that there's no such thing. You know, these guys play for pride and, you know, they're professionals too. That's cute. I love that. Good for you if that's how you're feeling right now. At the end of the day, if the Rangers think that they are a playoff team, with all the players that they have, with all the experience that they have, they should have come out and put forth. I'm not even saying they should have destroyed those teams. They should have won both games, But it they should not have played that poorly. That effort alone was horrible.
If it guys, and even if it was like a 5-2, a 5-3 win, and like, you know, all right, Buffalo's kind of competing, but like the Rangers, you feel like it's in hand. All right. Same thing with Pittsburgh. You know, they go out there, they win, you know, 3-1. Pittsburgh plays really hard because it's a division rival, and the Rangers, you know, find a way to be a better team in the third period. Guys, we're not having this conversation.
Sunday is a whole lot easier to digest in the way that they put the effort out there if they put the effort out there on Saturday. You know what I mean? If they ended up putting the effort out there on Saturday and win in Buffalo and you sneak away with a win on Sunday against Pittsburgh, I can live with that. I won't be ragging on them for that. You know what I mean?
Saturday was actually funny.
Saturday was depressing. Saturday hilarious, was actually like, but
I haven't felt that depressed. And I haven't felt that hurt by the Rangers, like by them, not by another team hurting the Rangers, by them in God knows how long. That one, like being down 5-0 to Buffalo and Igor looking as poor as he did, defensively looking as poor, like guys, like I just don't understand. You were in a break, right? You had a whole team meeting to try and get your guys back on the pace. And you come out like that. What is it? And you know what stinks is like the Rangers defensively, I don't think that they're poor. Like Braden Schneider's good. I think Keandre Miller, if you look at his analytic numbers, he's really not. He has so many negative plays that you forget about all the positive. So there's that. You know, Adam Fox is Adam Fox. Lindgren, and, I mean, Will Borgen, I like as a top four guy as your second pair defenseman. I like that. Like there are pieces on this team that you're like Lakanainen is going to be a great bottom six pair guy. It's just you're missing that one big piece, and Trouba was supposed to be continue to be that guy this year, and he just wasn't because of everything that happened. So it's just there's no effort, there's no heart. I mean, Panarin feels like, I feel like he's just going through motions right now. Zibanejad can't figure out what left and right is. He can't put the puck on net. The only guys out there putting the effort is that fourth line and JT Miller, I feel. I mean, and Trocheck is now hurt with a broken finger. I mean, God.
If they somehow are
in a playoff spot after tonight, realistically, there's still a chance that there's a chance that they can make it still. That's what stinks about this. Like,
no, and you know what I mean? Is, and you know what's funny? Going back to what you said, Dan, you said, okay. Because you made me think about something. Okay, it's the back end of a back-to-back. So you're tired, you know, Pittsburgh outshoots you by 10, but you still win that game. I can live with that because every team in the league is playing on the back end of a back-to-back at some point. Yeah. To get outshot at 30-9 is nuts. And I could understand being outshot 30-9 on the back end of a back-to-back if you're playing Carolina, if you're playing Winnipeg, if you're playing Florida. The Pittsburgh Penguins boys, are you also, serious? By the
way, had a who's back to back, and they got smoked on like, Saturday.
AJ, you brought up those good teams that you just said. It would make sense if they had the rest advantage. There was no rest advantage on either side.
Nope. But the only thing that was advantage was Pittsburgh was home the other day. That was
okay. But the Rangers had to get on a 40-minute flight. That's the only
difference.
From Buffalo to Pittsburgh is literally a 40-minute flight.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. And last thing I'll say before I, you know, stop rambling, boys, but my favorite is...
No, ramble. It's okay.
Yeah, we were really shocked we came out of the break with that effort. So then don't come out of the break with that effort. What are we talking about? You were literally the ones playing the game. We're shocked we came out with that effort. You're the ones playing. How are you shocked? I'm shocked you came out of the break with that effort.
You have Brock Faber playing 20 and a half minutes in a... Honestly, in a exhibition game, essentially, which wasn't treated like it, but they were exhibition games. You know? And then he goes out and plays 30 and a half minutes for Minnesota not even 48 hours later. And he puts out the effort of his life to help his team come back and win. And now, yeah, he is. But then you have the Rangers coming out. I'm going to go in. Oh, it was stolen. Oh, I'm going to go play defense. Let me just skate like 2 miles per hour. What are we doing? I just don't understand. I'm so fed up with this team. I was trying to be positive, But you know what? Ultimately, right now, the only way I can get even kind of back in if they go on a 5 or 6 game in a row heater. That's it. That's the only way. But they won't do it. So that's why I feel confident in saying that, because they're not going to do it.
I give you credit, Nick, because I will no longer allow this team to gaslight me. This team, the way they've played this year, is the girl who cheated on me 14 different times. And on the 15th time, she's like, no, but this time will be different. No, it's not going to be different. You stink. You're losing to teams who are horrible. You can't even beat the Buffalo Sabres or the Pittsburgh Penguins. I understand they have professionals on their team. There is no way on God's green earth I am going to realistically expect you to take down in a 7-game series anybody that's currently in a playoff spot right now. There's no way.
Do you remember
the Rangers' best chance this year? Best thing they could do, bottom out, get a top 10 pick. I don't even need it. Listen, I don't even need it to be James Haggins, okay? James Haggins would be sick. And I only say that because he'd be a number one overall pick. I haven't watched a kid play. I know he's good, but I don't know. I haven't watched a kid play. I've heard that he's really good. Cool. Sick. Another undersized guy. I know that too. Just get a top 10 pick, because that might be of value to someone. Either you take the pick and you make it, or you trade it away to somebody who will think that's valuable, and then maybe you can get something in return. You know, at this point, that's the best they can do, because I have no more faith in this team.
So the best thing they could do this year, their absolute ceiling is that this is like the absolute ceiling this year, if they were to make the postseason, is winning a first round series. That's like the absolute ceiling. That's like the ceiling. But to AJ's point, you could, you know, if you do sell off and you do this thing right, you could find yourself in the lottery. You never know. Maybe you move up to a top 4 pick. You know, this, that, and the third. Who knows? You can use that pick to kind of get back what you got from the JT, gave away from the JT Miller trade. Or if there's a player that high up that you really like, you know, you can go there. I mean, you can go there. You can pick that player, and maybe they're an instant impact. Who knows?
Yeah.
100%. Who knows? But
all right, guys, I want to transition into – well, here's what we can do. We can either transition to around the league, or we can go into the Rangers schedule, whatever you guys like to do.
Please go around the league.
All right.
Please.
So we got to talk about this. We haven't given this – we haven't gone around – we haven't talked about this a lot because he was hurt for part of the year, but the dude doesn't slow down. Alex Ovechkin is 13 goals away, guys. 13 goals away. He has – let me – what's the number? Is he 29 goals right now?
He's going to do it this year.
He is. He 100% is. I'm just trying to see what amount of goals is he at right now. He has 29 goals. He's played 41 games. He has 46 points. And he's only played 41 games. The guy is still a point-per-game player. And he continues to find a way to get the back of the net. I mean, guys, we're going to watch it happen this year. We're going to watch something that we never thought would happen. And we are witnessing the greatest goal scorer of all time. And let's be honest. I mean, listen, I don't know how – my memory is not the best, but – I remember when he came into the league, and I remember every year he scored. We have watched the best goal scorer to ever play the game our whole lifetime, and how crazy is that?
I mean, you can make the argument we've gotten to watch the second best player of all time and the greatest goal scorer of all time all happen in the same era. It just depends where you rank Sidney Crosby.
And even to another degree, we've also seen McDavid.
You
could argue that we've grown up in the best era of hockey, because yes, Mario Lemieux, I'm sure, was incredible to watch. Wayne Gretzky, the greats, the Bobby Orrs, the greats, right? That being said, with the amount of skill skill is trended upward like significantly.
Absolutely.
Sidney Crosby, I hated him as a kid, but now that I'm older and now that he's older, I can appreciate what he's done for the game a lot more. Ovechkin, incredible. Connor McDavid, now the best player currently right now. You could even make an argument for Nathan MacKinnon. But yeah, I think at this point, boys, we're pretty lucky. We've grown up in probably, at least in terms of hockey, probably one of the best eras.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I do hope Ovi does it this year. I think that'd be really cool. I think that'd be really cool. And I think for him, I think his goal would be to get to 900 goals. But but if you're going to be a little bit over a point a game pace still, and, you know, your body feels good and you feel like you could still do it. And hey, look, this Capitals team is on the rise. Like they're coming up. Like they have excellent coaching. They've gotten a lot out of guys like Chychrun and PLD, places that really couldn't, they figured it out with them, and, you know, they're going to be able to compete still. It's not just him just scoring empty goals. Like, these aren't empty calorie goals. Like, they're going to legit compete.
They're going to compete. So on top of the compete factor alone, even if, let's say, the last 13 goals, boys, are all empty netters.
Cares.
I'm just saying, they have 25 games left.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you can't see the Washington Capitals winning, or I'm sorry, having a lead in around 13 games out of the remaining 25? Now, I'm not saying they're going to win all those. I'm not saying they're going to, go 25-0, but there's a solid possibility with what they've shown us so far this year that they'll have a lead going in late. And let's say there's a scenario in which Alex Ovechkin scored a goal in the game to help the team get to the lead. If the team is down one, down two, and they pull the goalie, everyone is going to be passing Alex Ovechkin, and you know he's going to be on the ice because everybody wants him to get that achievement just as much as he wants to get that achievement.
Yep, 100%. 100%. I mean, it is crazy what the man is doing at the age he's doing it at. So it's going to be really cool to see, and I'm excited for that. Honestly, I'm excited to see this happen. Also, guys, I mean, Winnipeg, I think, have won 10 in a row. They're not slowing down. Connor Hellebuck is he impressed me all four nations. He is clearly the best goalie in the world right now. Even though Vasilevskiy's giving him a run for his money right now with how well Vasilevskiy's playing. Either way, he's a top two goalie, and that Winnipeg team is just, they're a machine. They remind me, here's the thing, offensively, they're a lot better than the Rangers were last year, and defensively, they're a lot better than the Rangers, so I can't say they remind me of the Rangers last year. But they are just a well-oiled machine. They're doing their business. I mean, hey, look, Kyle Connor showed Mike Sullivan up for benching him in that final over for Kreider with that goal he scored, which was gorgeous. I mean, man, seeing this kind of competition right now, and seeing Four Nations now leading to this, playoff hockey is going to be a lot of fun. And there are a lot of really good teams, and there's not one team I look at as a favorite. There are a lot of teams that have the chance to win this year, and I love that.
I
love to tell you Edmonton, but I can't guarantee Edmonton because their goaltending is still iffy and their defense is still iffy. I can't tell you Winnipeg because all they've done is fail in the playoffs. Carolina has also struggled to get there. New Jersey doesn't have a ton of experience, so I can't expect them to get there. Florida might be without Matthew Tkachuk the rest of the season, so I can't tell you they're going to get there. Tampa Bay Lightning can pick it up and can be the team, but I also think they're perfect. Their bottom six needs a lot of work. I don't know if I'm going to tell you they're going to get there. Washington, though I like them a lot, they don't have a lot of experience, but last year they can hopefully use that experience to help them
boost their up.
All of these teams having a possibility of winning not just one, not just two, but the whole thing.
I think this is a better conversation on March 12th, which would be the next episode after the deadline. Because you said all those things. Like Nick says, all those things, right? Those could be addressed in the next week and a half. Those can absolutely be addressed in the next week and a half. They can. Like, he talked about, okay, Washington maybe doesn't have experience. Okay, maybe they bring in a player that does. Tampa Bay in the bottom six. What if they bring on two guys that bolster it? And you're like, oh, I kind of feel better about this roster. What if there is, what if Winnipeg makes a strength stronger? You don't know. So I feel like March 12th is probably a better time to have that conversation, which would be the podcast that we do after the deadline.
No, we'll definitely have that conversation then too. I just, you know, like you said, trying to avoid talking Rangers at this point.
That's why we're going around the league.
Yeah. there's something else I wanted. There's been a lot that's been going on. I mean, this Four Nations put a huge factor in everything, you know. I want to give a testament to the NHL. I don't think we brought this up just yet as well. One last point for around the league is we're going to have a World Cup of Hockey come 2028. And every 2 years now with the Olympics, the World Cup of Hockey, they're trying to address this as international hockey. And they're trying to make this a huge thing. And you know what? After the ratings and what it did on ESPN and in the United States, almost 10 million people or just over 10 million people, which is an insane number for a hockey game. I mean, credit. I give Gary Bettman doesn't get a lot of credit because I don't think he deserves a lot of credit sometimes. But I'll tell you right now, this Four Nations has led to a huge spike in popularity, and I guarantee you the numbers for hockey are going to be up, including this postseason. You'll see a ton of numbers up, and it's going to be really cool to see, in my opinion, the best sport in the world and my favorite sport in the world get the recognition it deserves.
Yeah, I can't wait to see best on best again. I mean, we're going to be seeing that in the Olympics, though, too, in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see that next year. We'll see that in the World Cup of Hockey. I like that Bettman has now turned this into like, hey, like this is going to like hockey's going to matter around the world again. And that's going to be a huge thing because every 2 years you're going to get something.
Yeah. Every other year you're going to get something. And I think that's important. That is important. It keeps people engaged.
You know, it's crazy. And Dan said it before and I didn't have a chance to, I mean, I'm literally just going to repeat what he said, but like, I think the Four Nations face-off did so well for the NHL.
Huge numbers.
At this point, it's like, I don't ever want to see an All-Star game ever again. Like, I wasn't tuning in to an NHL All-Star game anyway.
No.
Fact of the matter is, I don't know. Like, I feel like in every other sport, the All-Star game, nobody cares. This was a mini in-season tournament. It was a mini in-season tournament that was played for nothing other than pride. And these players ripped their hearts out of their chest to try to be the one that said, hey, we won the in-season tournament.
So I think
incredible.
I think later down the road and maybe this summer, we could discuss what you do with the All-Star game, but you know,
give them a week, give them buys, give them, do nothing.
Just do a skills just say competition. You're an All-Star. Even if it's just a skills competition. And then at the end of the season, you have, first team, second team, third team.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it like, do it like the NBA does. Yeah. First team, second team, third team. And, you kind of go from there. Might not be a bad idea.
No, 100%.
Do 3-on-3 hockey for a whole game. No blocking, just straight 3-on-3 hockey.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's one thing. I mean, we can talk about this obviously more in the off season, but I think that 3-on-3 overtime with 10 minutes is going to be if they can apply that, is a huge change and it'll be awesome for the sport as well. I think that needs to change. That a 10-minute 3-on-3, and if that doesn't get it done, the 5-minute 3-on-3, then if that doesn't get it done, then you go to a shootout. At least give yourself the opportunity to end it 3-on-3. And I think you're going to see a lot more games end in overtime if you do that.
I think if you go to a 10-minute 3-on-3, then I think it has to be, if there's no winner by the end of that, I think it has to be a tie.
Really?
I think so. Because think about it, Nick. Think about how much these players play. It's an 82-game season. Imagine you go to the full length of overtime. Let's say you do that on the front end of a back-to-back. The player union would not allow that to happen. If they would ever allow a 10-minute overtime period, it would be with nothing to come afterwards. I personally feel.
Listen, that works because then you know what? And I guess we can talk more about dive deep into this as well. I think maybe another time we can do this. I love the point system for this tournament as well. I 100% loved the point system. It makes it matter more what you do and how the results, how they come. So I definitely think that needs to be a topic of discussion. But we can talk about that in the offseason. Real quick, guys. Rangers schedule coming up tonight. They play the New York Islanders. We record on Tuesday to post Wednesday morning 8 a.m. So please be listening out. Tonight they play the New York Islanders in UBS for the first time this year, I believe. Toronto on Friday at home. Then they play Nashville at home and the Islanders at home, all before next Tuesday. Listen, I have no faith in them. they're not going to win all these games or even get points in all these games. So I don't even want to think about the playoffs. But listen, Rangers, if you guys listen to this, if you want to get anybody to believe in you and really trust that you can do something this year, make a little noise and make the deadline matter for you rather than be sellers, you got four chances right here. This is it. This is it. These are the chances. You have 8 possible points. You got to get 6. Gotta. If you want to have any chance of making the postseason. Playoffs
started this past Saturday.
Yeah, and they have not showed up yet.
8-2 in game one, so.
Yep. So, listen, that's all I got to say to that. I don't think they'll do it. I have no faith that they'll do it. I hope they're sellers at the deadline, because they should be. And there's a lot more retention they can be doing. But, you know what? That's all I'll say. They got to go out there and they've got to show everybody, show their fan base that they do want it this year and they want to try and make the most of the season that could have been lost, that has been lost for the most part.
You know what they'll do?
Please don't.
They're gonna go 2-2. The Islanders, they'll find a way to destroy them. If Toronto doesn't beat the Rangers, I don't even know, man. That's horrible. They'll beat Nashville and then the Islanders will win against them. This team won't do bad enough to help themselves get a top pick, but they won't do good enough to get into the playoffs. I'm gonna root tonight. I'm not gonna root hard. I'm gonna root for an effort, and that they don't get embarrassed. But at this point, boys, I'm kind of mentally checked out. At this point, I think I'm more ready for the trade deadline. I'm more excited about that than anything. I'm more excited about seeing Brennan Othman and other kids get a chance to play. And I'm even more excited for Mets spring training and the beginning of the season than I am for the rest of this hockey season when it comes to the Rangers. I'm over it. I love them. I will hold the umbrella over the Rangers in the rain, but I'm still disappointed in them. And I just don't think this is the year, boys.
Wow.
Isn't it really
I got nothing.
So you're
a
better man than I am, to be honest with you, because I would let them stand in the ring by themselves and make them learn a damn lesson. But that's just me.
I couldn't do that. And it's gotten me in so much trouble in my life, but I couldn't do that.
Nick says that, but Nick would hold
I understand that. As well. I'm just saying, like, I can't do that.
They hurt me so bad on Saturday. I was in so much pain. I literally was like, you know, my fiance called me dramatic, and I'm like, you're right, I'm dramatic. My life is great besides that. Like, I have a great loving friends, I have loving family, I have an amazing fiance, I have a great life ahead of me. But the Rangers, that part of my life, which has part of my heart, is dead. It's gone. This season, that part of my heart is gone. They're going to need to do some CPR on it next season, the beginning of the season, to get it going again, because it's gone.
Whoever's got the Rangers voodoo doll, you can stop now. This was fun while it lasted, but I'm good.
Yeah. I guess on that note. I will do my thing.
Thank you
guys for listening to Healthy Scratches, a Blue Shirts podcast. Please follow us on X, Twitter, whatever they like to call it, at @THSABSPodNYR. Follow us on all of our podcasting platforms, guys. We really appreciate all the support. We will be posting, once again, we are post weekly, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Please be on the lookout for the podcast. If we have any changes, we will let you guys know as soon as possible. Thank you all for listening and have a great week. And I guess I'll say this. Let's go, Rangers.
Let's go, Rangers. But mainly, let's go, Mets.